He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Wednesday morning, everyone. This is the December 2nd live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. And, of course, I'm not Bill Gunderson. This is Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And we also have our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor, Paul Carlson, joining us as usual. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Barry. Yeah, good morning.
Great. How was your hope you had a great Thanksgiving?
I did, although, you know, it's kind of on a small scale this year. Me and the wife at the house, and then we did some Zoom calls with the parents and other relatives.
Yeah.
But still very nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Good.
How about you?
Good. Yeah. No, it was, we had Christina, myself, three boys. Had a good time of reflection. Obviously had a great meal as well. Pulled off the smoked and fried turkey somehow.
Very good.
And the oyster dressing was all right as well. It was good time of reflection and just good time to kind of get together and you know, just take a little break for a moment and get back to it now, though. So finishing out the just starting first Wednesday in December and just kind of, trying to hopefully wrapping up the year on a good note. We don't want a repeat of 2018, right? Maybe the day after Christmas, that'd be nice, but the rest of it, compared to then, certainly in a market wise, probably in a better spot, ironically, given, given what's occurred in 2020 up to this point. But,
sure.
Yeah, and kind of the big news yesterday. So I guess while we were all stuffing our faces, the finance teams, the finance teams at Salesforce and Slack were hashing out. Largest tech merger of the year thus far, with a $27.7 billion asking price for Slack, and I've used them a little bit in the past with some startups that I've worked with and consulted with in the past. Have you used Slack at all? Paul,
I've not had the privilege. No.
Yeah. It's not a huge. I know in terms of for us in the in the finance industry, it's not as certainly not as big of a product, at least thus far. But like I said, I know a lot of the collaboration, certainly in the more tech space, startup space. I've seen it used, but. So that's we'll dive into some of that merger news and get into some of the other just some of that activity that's occurred over the this year, whether it's been the SPACs or just some big IPOs and some required mergers due to the pandemic as well. So we'll cover look at that. We also have some economic news. We've got of course ADP employment report for November. That's usually been a preview of the non-farm payrolls, although that's changed a bit during the pandemic, and we'll dive into that. And also, of course, big back and forth in terms of political news. Political news / economics. The stimulus back and forth. Some rhetoric going back and forth. I think everyone, in a perfect world would like to get a deal done. I think, what does that look like? How does that translate? How most of 2020 translates, how does it translate politically?
Some of the numbers that we're going to look at, these economic releases, are going to kind of indicate the need for that deal to get done.
Yeah, I agreed, and I think there's a lot. You know, I think you know, if we had to kind of give a give a moniker for today, I think it's kind of a kind of a mixed bag. Whether it's the market's looking doing well yesterday, kind of giving some back today, and we'll we'll get into the some actual what the markets are doing here in a moment, Paul. But yeah, I mean,
sure.
I think kind of how everything ties together a little bit today, and just how we're getting a mixed bag in terms of some good news, some bad news, and I think we kind of it's kind of what Bill's expecting, that we've been kind of these fits and starts, and,
yep.
And so we'll kind of it's certainly a theme of the day.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Fed speak today. We've got Quarles, Williams, and Hawker speaking, and then Jerome Powell testifies in front of the House Financial Services Committee.
Yep.
So a lot in the way of the Fed, and I'll be closely watching that this morning.
Yeah, yeah, certainly, certainly from a, from a bond perspective, that's that's big, big for you, and certainly as the bond market, think about the bond markets, much more, much larger than the equity market. So.
That's right.
A lot of that news feeds into our valuations and everything else from an equity perspective. So, looking forward to that. And Paul, if you want, you want to dive in and give us kind of a recap on the global markets for today, and we'll get things rolling.
Sure. Over in Asia, the Nikkei was up 0.1%. Hong Kong down 0.1%. Basically, these markets were right around unchanged. China down 0.1%. India the same. Over in Europe, at midday, London was flat. Paris down 0.3%. Frankfurt down 0.4%. And then we've got the 10-year yield here in the U.S. at 9.944. That's up a basis point. And then we can look at the domestic. The markets are open now. So do you have that in front of you?
Yeah,
there,
I do.
The,
yeah,
you,
we've got
the Dow.
Dow's, everything's pretty much, down slightly this morning. Dow's down about 0.24%. That's 71 points down to 29,752. So, as Bill mentioned, that 30,000 level is, pretty
hard to hold on to. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty strong. Pretty strong resistance there. So, NASDAQ down 0.46% today. That's 56 points on that index at 12,298. And then the S&P also down about 20 basis points or 0.2%, and that's down about 7.5 points. So
yeah, that's at 36.56 on the S&P now.
Yeah, yeah, and gold's ticking up. Of course. Yesterday, but getting up above 1800. So,
after that massive sell-off the day before that,
Yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting. You had the sell-off the day before, and then essentially gold reclaimed the 1800 mark yesterday, and pretty much on a what is like a biggest jump, a daily jump in a month or so. So. I think it's about 2.1%. Looks like yesterday. So that's a I think a lot of these commodities are kind of have been taking off a bit, and I think we'll get.
There's been some weakness in the dollar, and that's reflected in the commodities. That's how the inverse.
Yeah, which kind of ties back into the expected stimulus, which in turn is more of an inflationary, at least seen as inflationary. I think probably the Fed at some time hopes it's inflationary, but gold prices have certainly reflected that. And the optimism, there's been some, even in a mixed year, there's been some optimism still in terms of all these merger and acquisition deals. I think you looked up some numbers for us where the number of deals is through August is in about the mid 12,000 range.
12,123 for the rolling 12-month period ended August.
Right.
That's down 14 from 14,247. Prior period, but you need to consider how much time was spent. With the lockdowns, and that certainly hindered any deals for a certain good chunk of that period.
Yeah, I mean the any uncertainty, especially if you're in the middle of a deal or exploring a deal, that's going to that's certainly not going to be good for at least for negotiations. A lot of times around, certainly not good for the for the capital that's going to be funding that deal. But so that's a I think we'll get into some of the kind of mixed bag here. Today we're gonna we've got the economic news. Some of it's good, some of it was bad. Depends on kind of how you look at it. Same thing from a from a mergers and acquisition standpoint. You've got some companies are feeling confident. Of course, some thinking they need to, they need to combine in order to continue and be viable going forward. So a lot of, anytime you have those movers and shakers, you always presents opportunities and presents opportunities for disruption for some of the companies we own and some of the best stocks now. So we'll get into it.
Stay
just get
us.
Started here this morning. We'll be Welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Barry Kite and Paul Carlson here sitting in for Bill Gunderson on this Wednesday, the first Wednesday in December, December 2nd.
Hello. Yeah.
There, Paul. All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, didn't move too much on the break there. So we're
pretty quiet. No.
Yeah, you never know. A big change from last week, where I think we had the economic Thanksgiving feast in terms of the information dump on Wednesday that normally occurs over the 3-day period between Wednesday and Friday. So we've got a little bit. We don't need our Tums or our Rolaids today. In terms of kind of digesting some of the economic news. But the big news, yesterday, and I think encouraging just for, from a tech sector, in general, and, of course, a lot of our portfolios, just giving the given the scalability and growth prospects, certainly geared towards that tech space, software as a service, SaaS space, and that's where we're going to find Salesforce. Probably a lot of our listeners out there have used used some version of Salesforce, whether you knew it or not, in terms of our software. Yeah, and in terms of them. A lot of people would say they're overpaying. It's the biggest deal they've done before. it's all relative. Hearing the CEO speak yesterday, I think they've a handful of their deals over the years they've been told that they paid too much, and they're able to able to work that through their own sales channels that they already have in place, and we're able to make that pay off. So I think they have a good history of absorbing new companies, new products, new platforms, and gearing that towards how they've already been doing business and how they've already been selling to their customer base.
Yeah, and this is what I was mentioning to you during the the break, is that some of these mergers and acquisitions are done for the purpose of defense, whereas others are done for an offense, and that technology is usually offense. Whereas given the COVID, things like hospitality, those type of mergers are retail, for example.
Right.
Those are in defense, just as survival mode. So.
Yeah, and divestitures as well, which
sure.
we've seen a lot, certainly in the fossil fuel space. given where prices
that was another one, energy prices, yeah, for the defense, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, I think it's important to kind of just to kind of step back and look at, you know, in terms of why some of these deals get done, right? I mean, from a from an IPO standpoint, your traditional IPO, initially it was to new funds, access funds to fuel growth. In the latter years, Facebook was kind of one of, Facebook was kind of one that, that kind of started this trend to a certain extent, at least valuation wise, in waiting, to go public for a period of time, essentially getting a fuller and fuller valuation.
Right. It became more of a cash out, proposition rather than raising capital for operations or.
Yeah,
investment.
It became an exit. Became an exit for for all the
for private equity. Yeah,
right. Yeah. And so I think that's and then kind of along those lines, right? We had the had the SPACs, which have existed. It's just the I guess the creative way in which it was used or is being used, at least at least this year has been has been very unique, and that's been another. Addition,
basically to invest in the hottest sector or sectors, and that's been the EV space as of late, right?
Right, yeah, and of course, double-edged sword, right? Your hotter spaces, right, going to have your higher valuations, which in turn are going to going to have the biggest chance of volatility, right? You're going to have, it's no different. You're going to have these fits and starts. It's in vogue. We're gonna pay up for the technology or for the growth, and then you get kind of a reset whenever quarterly numbers come out, right? Forecast, guidance, and then you kind of reassess and are we moving higher or are we do we need to rethink the
valuation,
right? It's just kind of just a very interesting dynamic where. I think at least from a deal standpoint, we're kind of somewhat on track from where we were this time last year before the word COVID was ever rolling off our tongue, if you will.
Well, and you think about it, we've done about $170 billion in that period I mentioned, the rolling 12 months ended August. Those deals we mentioned, the 12,123 represent $170 billion rather in valuation.
Right,
and we had a couple. Some of the biggest ones. I think the largest was just announced was the S&P Global buying IHS Market for $44 billion.
Yeah,
and before
right.
that, we had Morgan Stanley buy E-Trade for $13 billion back in August. So,
yep. And we've got the Airbnb IPO on the horizon.
IPO.
We've got DoorDash as well coming up, and. Other impetus or reasons for acquisition. For instance, yesterday we had Lightspeed acquiring Upserve for $430 million. These names may or may not, just roll off your tongue, but, they likely will going forward. And that's because, it's a leading restaurant cloud software company. Essentially, they're helping companies go to online ordering, those types of services that they're bringing into restaurants, whether it's your large chains or some of your mom and pop restaurants that need to get digital as fast as possible. No different than what Shopify has kind of done with the boutique and. And just getting
sure.
that brick and mortar, model turned around, quickly, to begin online sales. So that's a merger for, for strategic reasons, right?
A little different tack here. I saw that Elon Musk is willing to talk with legacy automakers about possible deals, which I found quite interesting.
Yeah,
I suspect it would include just kind of the EV part of their business, and whereas I can't imagine you would want to take on the legacy combustion engine part of the business at all.
Yeah, I don't see where that would be.
strategic.
Yeah, that was the Pink Floyd there was kind of right on cue with the legacy automaker part. So
we'll be back with the second half, and we'll continue on that path.
Yes, caught me by surprise. We'll be back.
All right.
Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. With your host today, I'm Barry Kite, and our bond portfolio manager, Paul Carlson, joining us. And we're playing relief captain here for Bill this morning. And so just wanted to, looks like in terms of revolution, I guess we ended with the legacy automakers, and the EV space continues to be under pressure. I think it's came a long ways, pretty fast, and of course, Bill's been hitting on that segment a good bit lately. And I think with the Hindenburg and the candy story has been
Nikola NKLA,
kind of a downer. I mean, when you start getting into whether it's accounting or revenue recognition issues, whether on purpose or not, it's this industry is built a lot on confidence, whether actual confidence or perceived confidence, and I think
or perceived product versus real product.
Yeah, and it's just hard to turn that confidence back around. Luck and Coffee. That story developed quickly, and that stock blew up quickly in that instance. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on, just in terms of whether you like a company or not. The problem, even if there are no accounting issues, the perceived possibility of them is certainly not a
perception is reality sometimes.
Stock.
Yeah.
Right. And it's hard to catch that, it's hard to catch that falling knife. Whenever things start steamrolling, even if the Hindenburg article is, completely off base. I think the point is when people depending on what they're writing about, right? What's their view, right?
Motivation.
Certainly a short seller, and that bad news is good news for that line of work. So, in terms of catching up, in terms of the wrapping up the M&A activity, I mean, we've had the opposite side of that, like you said, is for instance, Caesars recently announced they're going to unload the Belle of Baton Rouge. That, of course, is a gaming casino, brick and mortar gaming casino, and that's one of those divestitures. What I imagine where Caesars will use that those dollars in some other form or fashion as they try to navigate the pandemic and wait for widespread use of the vaccine. So.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the November, so we've got some economics report, kind of a mixed bag, as you can imagine, and Bill's alluded to a lot, the housing market remains on fire, mortgage applications, I think the purchase index, of new purchases, purchase applications was up 9%. The average
there was a
loan.
Decline in refis, but
right.
Yeah.
Yep. Decline in refis, and it's a week to week number. I mean, so it's going to be it's transient, but I think the interesting thing was the average loan hit an all time high. So that's telling us that as Bill said, prices are have been screaming up in the housing market, and so it's actually the largest It's the largest loan amount at $375,000 average, as the it's the largest since the inception of the survey, which started in 1990.
That's right.
Very interesting there. I think the in looking at it from a year over year basis, your purchase mortgage applications are up 28%. In refis, as you would expect in this low rate environment, even though we're coming from a pretty low rate environment already, refis are up 102%
from last year.
Right. So that's good news. Housing demand remains strong. That's a positive sign. Of course, on the flip side, the ADP report.
ADP was a little disappointing,
Yeah,
307.
Little soft at 307, and I actually saw somewhere where they actually posted 407, but the 307 was the real number. They had a 410,000 forecast. As we've kind of talked about, these forecast numbers are, it's certainly tough to forecast them.
And ADP is not a very reliable number generally, from my experience. So.
Yeah, and it's been worse. It's actually gotten worse during COVID. I was reading, it used to be kind of a preview of what the non-farm payroll was going to be, coming up on Friday. That whole relationship has been, if it wasn't disjointed already,
strained.
It's been disjointed. Yeah, it's certainly disjointed during the pandemic. I saw a number where I think the non-farm payroll number has, there's a $10 million job difference between the two numbers. So, very misleading potentially from an ADP standpoint. Those numbers, some of the bright side of that activity though was that it was a broad-based there's a broad-based kind of gains across size of business, also across different industries, right? So kind of wide-ranging growth across the whole group. Service industry actually added 276,000 jobs during that time. And leisure and hospitality, 95,000. So, of course, different portions of the country, closing restaurants and some not even, letting, the outside.
Well, and there was another number yesterday, kind of ties back to the mortgages we were just talking about. Forbearance has actually increased to 5.54%.
There are
people struggling to make those payments, especially without and this ties back to politics now, without getting a relief bill out there, checks out into people's hands.
Exactly. And I think those numbers, like you said, I think those numbers will, for those, and like I said, I think all, Republican, Democrat, I think everyone, knows that we need some type of stimulus. The question is how quickly and at what level. Right, but I think these numbers, right, as forbearance, forbearance keeps ticking up, right? That leads to potential default. That is on a whole, has a whole cascading effect as well, which we don't want to occur. So when all that is part of the various packages, whether it's the $908 billion one that was kind of discussed and seemed. Kind of on track, pretty good. By midday yesterday, Mnuchin was asking. He was asking for a targeted package. McConnell. He's a long tested politician as well. He chimes in and essentially rejected the 908. Basically by the end of the day. So we're still getting kind of a mixed bag from that perspective too. I know. The market, and when you look at the commodity space, and even just some of the broad based rallies we've had, across the entire indices, shows or we know it's coming. It just depends on when and how much and what happens. How much strain is there in the interim?
Mnuchin called for it, right, in the testimony yesterday?
Yeah. Powell's called for it. And you see. Copper has been, has been getting upgrade, and it's, been moving. I think it's been, much more constructive in terms of the chart. So, those are your classic, growth cycle economic, you know,
kind of tells.
Yeah. And so, you know, that part, seeing it there, of course, you know, the mixed bag of that is gold, you know, going up as well, whether that's for inflationary reasons or whether it's for, you know, protection, risk off reasons. You know, it seems much more inflationary, you know, at this point. But, you know, I think, I just think we've got, we're going to need to get used to some of this, you know, kind of, information, kind of the start and stop.
Well, and there's been talk of some of the foreign governments selling their treasuries. So I have to look at that tick data closely when it comes out. That's the Treasury International Capital Flows.
Yeah, so. And you know, and it's always hard to differentiate sometimes between what's kind of the normal level, right, and then what's kind
of seasonal and
true dumping, right? And I think sometimes countries will say they're dumping it, even though if it's just happened to be time for them to take it off. So, well, you know, when we kind of blast it through the first three quarters here, but we'll have our stock of the day here in the last segment, and looking forward to it. It's a chip maker and one of those that's kind of been hot in the news, and also from your for your holiday gift shopping. And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And this is Wednesday, December 2nd, and I'm your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management. And we have Paul Carlson, as usual, our co-host, and more importantly, our bond guru here at the firm. All right, well, this one's gone by pretty fast, Paul. So. In terms of the market, essentially we're right about where we started. So we won't kind of dive into that too much. We've got but a little softness in the markets today. Dow's down about 0.24%, S&P down about 0.16%, and the Nasdaq down about 0.42%. Of course, I think the Nasdaq led the way yesterday. So a little bit of pullback as the market kind of waits for Washington and figures out this where we're going in terms of the stimulus package.
For sure. Yeah.
Our stock of the day today is going to be one that we've been fond of for a while here, have owned,
largest holding,
and continue to own. It's AMD. Chip makers have, we've written about them a number of times. AMD specifically, I think the last time we wrote about them was July 30th. We've also written about recently TSM or Taiwan Semiconductor, UMC, and that's another chip maker, and AMD as well. We're also hold Qualcomm. They had some great news come out. They're launching their Snapdragon platform. Essentially, it's a new chip for faster 5G to premium smartphones. Kind of the unique piece for this is there's actually a 5G modem integrated into the chip. Now, how they put all that stuff in that little space, I'm not sure. But in terms of we've kind of from an investment thesis, certainly UMC is one of those. But it's kind of been the picks and shovel approach to tech world, of course, 5G taking off, but also just the power of the computer and the chip and the Internet of Things and data centers. So there's if batteries are the new fuel for our vehicles, well then. The more powerful chips are more and more fuel for everything else that we have going on in life. So, our AMD will be our stock of the day, and You know, we, like I said, we wrote about it most recently, Paul, on July 30th.
Right.
Yeah, we actually first, I mean, we've written a number of times. I just think it's odd. I always go back to the February 25th article, which, let's be honest, sounds kind of like the worst time in which you can post an you know, a bullish article, right, on a on a stock. Would have been you know, would have been close to a top at that particular time, but. You know, since February 25th, AMD's up 101%. I had to go back and check that number. But
yeah,
101%, and, you know, the market is up 16, let's give it 17, it's 16.98%. So kind of just, you know, and it goes to show you, I think, that, you know, that our approach and you know, and Bill's app that he's, you know, developed. And
yeah, the Best Stocks together. Now app, you know, if you look at it, today we're ranked AMD's 276 out of 5530 in the database. And like you said, you know, 2020 return of 102%. You know, it's ranked an A for value. It's ranked an A minus for this overall stock grade, the buy, of course. And, you know, we own it and we continue to like it. There's no guarantees going forward. But we like the metrics. The PEG ratio is still right about one. So it's not too over, you know, overpriced or in our metrics, right? So
yeah, and they've got you know they've got to deal with Xilinx, you know, in process as well. You know, and I think
and what you mentioned the gaming, right? For
yeah, gaming wise, that's another you know, in terms of you know, adding to the bottom line. You know, it's you know, no, if it's a huge driver, but you know, certainly very interesting in terms of. And you know, good partners with Sony and Microsoft and Xbox. So, you know, the gaming side, you know, their chips are in the new PS5 and the new Xbox Series X, which are you know, from you know what Santa Claus is finding out here here in the Kite household is kind of a tough thing to get at this point. So. If any elves out there, you know, certainly taking any suggestions. But you know, the unique thing I think is, you know, the getting you know back to the app. The you know the what I think ranking was you know 13th 18 months ago and 13th a year ago.
And yeah, so, it's usually under 100. Yeah, it's in the top 100 usually.
Yeah, so it, you know, it was you know it was ranked high then, and it, you know it's still and performed since. So I think. To me, it's the dichotomy, too, of large companies, right, coming up to the top in terms of the rankings, and then also, you know, finding those double-A teams from the, you know, that we put on, you know, that Bill puts in the emerging portfolio.
Emerging growth, right.
Yeah, I mean, they show, you know, they kind of, you know, show up and rank side by
up.
Side.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And which is, so, you know, which is important.
I should mention that AMD is, you know, breaking out to a new high here at 95.22. That's up 258 on the day, or 2.75%.
Yeah, technically making a you know making a making a great move from that standpoint and
for the day.
You know, yeah, and like we said, disclosure wise, our largest holding here at here at Gunderson Capital, and you know it's been a you know great position for us, and I think it's just been an interesting stock overall. You know, a lot of times over the years, you know, AMD has kind of performed well when Intel hasn't. And so, you know, a lot of people were, you know, Intel kind of had some missteps, so, you know, about roughly close about 9 months ago now, you know, a year ago, and AMD kind of benefited from that initially, and people just thought that, oh, yeah, Intel will catch up. And, you know, and to me, we made the argument and, you know, competitive advantage, you know, if you, you know, just like, you know, if you're behind and you got to catch back up, you know, your execution better be 100% at that point because you're behind the eight ball, certainly in the tech world. So,
yeah, and, you know, and if people want to learn more about this and what we're thinking on these names, they can go to GundersonCapital.com. They can sign up for our newsletter. It's a free trial. Or if you want to give us a call, talk to Barry, myself, or Bill, give us a call at 855-611-BEST.
Yeah.
And, go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and just you know, all these ideas, you know, we're here to help and give you something, give you something to go by. But looking
this
forward to it,
and
have a great day.
To buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.